Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining us today is Francesca Montillo, the owner and founder of Lazy Italian Culinary Adventures, which provides one-of-a-kind, fully guided and escorted culinary adventures to Italy. When not escorting groups to Italy, Francesca resides in Medford, and she can most likely be found researching recipes, writing on her blog, or spending time with her beloved Shih Tzu, Trixie. Francesca, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
My pleasure. Please share more with our audience. Oh, yeah.
Sure. I was going to say, speaking of Shih Tzu that you just mentioned, you might hear her. She's looking out the window, so you might hear her. I apologize.
Totally fine. Please share more about you and what you do with our audience.
Sure. So I am in Medford, Mass. I grew up in Italy, however, and in 2016, I started my business leading food and wine tours to Italy. So essentially, it's exactly what it sounds like. I bring people from the U.S. I've had people actually from Canada as well and New Zealand, ironically, and I bring them to Italy to showcase the best food and wine of my native land. So during the week, we do cooking classes, we do visit wineries, we go to olive oil mills, limoncello, anything culinary, essentially, with groups of 12 to 16 people per week.
Amazing. And what kind of, like, I know that you go back to your homeland, but what inspired you to make a business out of this?
So I traveled a lot when I moved here when I was 11 years old. So from the time I was 11, pretty much all through my schooling, every summer we would go back, and I always loved going back. I loved traveling. I loved being in Italy. And but, you know, I also, as I got older, did the traditional path. I went to college. I got a bachelor's and a master's. I worked in healthcare, but healthcare can be very challenging and demanding. So I found myself just not having enough time off. And I said, okay, I need to be able to make a business. Could I make a business out of traveling to Italy? I love to cook. That was also a side thing that I was doing on the side, cooking and baking and sharing recipes with people. So that was also part of what I was doing kind of on the side. I said, how can I combine the two, the food and the travel? And culinary tours just seemed very fitting. So I started in 2016 with just like one tour. And then eventually I was able to make a full-time business out of it.
Amazing. And what do you, how many tours do you typically host a year? Is it kind of like the same exact tour each time? Or do you switch things up?
It depends. It depends from year to year. Of course, I had 2 years of being unable to travel because of COVID. But I usually go back 3 to 4 times a year. And while I'm there, I'll do 2 to 3 week long trips. So I've done Tuscany, Bologna, the Amalfi Coast, Veneto, Sicily, Calabria, Puglia. And usually they're always 1 week long. Sometimes I have people who sign up for back-to-back tours because they're going to spend the money on the airfare. They might as well do 2 or 3 trips while they're there. So that has happened before. And it's just it depends on the year. For example, this year I just got back from Bologna. I probably won't offer that next year, but I might offer it again the year after. On the other hand, the Amalfi Coast is very popular, so I always offer that every year in Tuscany. It depends. What the trend seems to be.
Right. And do you find that with the groups that you get, does it tend to be people who are all coming from like the same family or friend group together? Do you kind of get like a mix of people as well?
It's a mix because we're very welcoming to solos as well. It's a great opportunity for solo travelers who want to travel, but they travel solo, but don't want to be exactly on their own. So joining a small group is the perfect fit. But I also get mother, daughter, husband, wife, granddaughter, daughter, grandchild. I've had multi-generation. So it really, the only requirement is that you like food and wine in Italy, you know, everything else. We welcome any kind of demographic or, again, together with folks or on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And with the people who have gone on the culinary tours with you, how have you been finding them? Like, what's been your way to let them know about what's happening and just being able to get them to sign up?
Yeah, I mean, I have been very fortunate. I've been in business since 2016, but I've never paid for any sort of advertisement or marketing of any sort. I did publish three cookbooks, so I have three tradition. They're traditionally published. They're not self-published. Not that, and I only mentioned that as a sake of mentioning. Not that I wouldn't self-publish if the opportunity came, but I have three cookbooks, so I think people are finding me through my cookbooks as well. And thankfully, I have a pretty loyal following on Facebook. Facebook seems to be my social media of choice. So people have found me through that, and just word of mouth. You know, I heard a lot of times. I've heard people will say, "I heard from you from so and so," or "so and so posted on Facebook while they were on vacation, and I knew I wanted to travel with you too." So just, you know, kind of grassroots, really, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it all goes back to the content you create. I mean, especially when you're posting, because we're friends on Facebook, I see you posting these group photos and activities that you're doing when you take the groups on tour to Italy. And so people that I imagine just kind of pulls people in, getting that inside look into what they would expect to get from the experience.
I try to post, you know, just aspiring pictures of folks picturing themselves. Say, hey, that looks like a lot of fun. That looks like something I would like to do too. I don't know where this place is. I wouldn't mind having a native, fluent in Italian take me there rather than do it on my own. So I handle pretty much everything for the week. I don't have to worry about anything. All the private transportation, the hotel, the entrances to things. So it's all taken care of for them. The only thing they have to do is get themselves there, because I don't sell the air. But other than that, once they're there, they're very well taken care of.
That's wonderful. And do you ever find that people go, I know you mentioned people do like back-to-back tours with you, but do they ever go once and then maybe a year or so later come back with you?
Yeah, I have a lot of repeats. Thank goodness. It's just such a high compliment to have that repeat clients. I have once one couple, actually, local couple, who has done every one of my tours. They've been
Oh
to
my gosh.
every region I have been to, they have been there with me. And now they're like, okay, you either do new regions or we're gonna start repeats. We'll start repeating because they've been to everyone. It's just, again, one of the best compliments I could receive is having that repeat clientele or that referral.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And speaking of referrals, do you ever collaborate with like travel agents who might work with Italy, especially if people are booking like honeymoons or anything like that? It could be a referral source for them.
I do work with one travel agent who a lot of my clients say, you know, I can't book air with you. How do I do it? And I'll refer them to her, and she'll assist them in the flight process of just selecting the best flight for them. I have also worked with travel agents who want to sell my package. So for a commission,
Oh,
they'll try and
nice.
market my tours, and it's a win-win. It helps me to sell out the tour, and it helps them because they get a nice 10-15% commission. So it's great to have that mutual collaboration because, you know, when we have a client, we all win.
Right.
Essentially, we're a small businesses, you know, it's why not offer that to somebody when it's a win-win?
Absolutely. And since you started your business in 2016 and have obviously been in the travel industry since then, what have you learned just from being in the industry and running a business within it?
Yeah, so I mean, I've done a lot of learning with myself, right? In the sense that now I know I can handle this. I can do this. It's no longer a side gig. It's no longer just something I'm doing as a hobby that I'm actually running a successful business. This is my only source of income. I was able to quit my job at the end of 2020 and just do this full time. Ironically, just as I quit, we stopped traveling because of COVID. But I used that time to really build my business, my cookbooks, my cook. I did a lot of Zoom cooking classes
Oh,
to just
fun.
be, you know, learning that I can bounce back and I can actually run a business has been the biggest. Even shocked myself.
Yeah, which is amazing. Exactly what you said, not being able to travel for 2 years and still keeping things continuously growing since then.
Yes, definitely. I really made good use of that time because that's when I published the cookbooks. That's when the cooking classes picked up. And I knew in 2021, when we weren't even traveling yet, in 2021, by this, not even this time, more like April of 21, I had sold everything available for 22 because people were just
Wow.
dying to travel. People were like itching to get out. So I was like, okay, then I knew it was like, okay, we're not traveling this year, but I can definitely tell unless we have another catastrophe with COVID, people will be eager to travel in 22.
Right, it's like all that cabin fever.
Exactly. Yes. Pent up inability to travel.
Yes, for
Yeah.
sure. And when you're not traveling to Italy and taking your clients on tours, what's your day-to-day like in your business when you're at home and how you handle responsibilities and keeping things running?
Sure. So my usual day to day, I know I do a lot of content. I try to put out a pretty thoughtful and well-researched blog content every week.
Awesome.
And that goes out to my email list every week. I work on some Zoom cooking classes. I do some corporate Zoom cooking classes. So, companies like Liberty Mutual and some health insurance companies actually will hire me to do like a team building or group event from on Zoom. I also work on doing some marketing for my business, things like your podcast, or again, I'm also a writer for the Italian Sons and Daughters of America, so I publish a lot of writing for them. So, however I can fill the day, that still makes me feel productive, answering a lot of emails, inquiries that come in, and just too in Italy, the time zone's different. They're 6 hours ahead, so a lot of times I'll get up early, but by like 1 o'clock, I really can't reach anybody in Italy anymore because it's 7 or 8
Oh,
o'clock there,
right.
so that kind of affects a little bit of my day.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting to think about. And I think it's great that you have those periods where you can just kind of batch that work, like you said, get ahead on your marketing or perhaps
Yeah.
focus on other admin type of stuff. So that way, when you're
Exactly.
with the groups, you don't necessarily have to worry about it.
Exactly. Yeah, when I'm there with them in Italy, I pretty much try to not answer a lot of emails or do any writing or anything like that. I tell them I am your go-to 24/7. Anything comes up, even at nighttime, you're finding yourself, I don't know, you need something, please come knock on my hotel door and give them that access.
Yeah. And when people are looking to travel to Italy, what would you say is the benefit of traveling with your company as a group compared to going by themselves?
Sure. I mean, I think that where my value comes in too is that it takes hundreds, if not thousands, of hours to plan a well thought out trip. And you picture yourself and what you do for work, no matter your role, you times that amount, times the times that it takes to create something beautiful. And that's where I step in and do all that for you. That's where my value comes in. It's not, you can't just buy an airline ticket and go to Italy and wing it. If you want something great, if you want something well thought out and well planned, if you want those great restaurant reservations, if you want to make sure you hire great drivers, if you want to make sure you hire the best guide you can find, it's going to take a lot of research. I don't unfortunately actually travel as much as I would like outside of Italy, but I know that if I were to pick a European country, and go to Spain or France, I would want somebody who is from the area, who speaks the language, who knows what they're doing, rather than me going and doing all that research myself, because it wouldn't be the best use of my time. I'd rather trust, leave the what people are good at and let them do it.
Right. And it sounds like by joining one of your groups, people have like a guaranteed amazing trip compared to if they book something themselves and something doesn't go quite right. Now they're thinking of, oh, well, I spent thousands and thousands of dollars and this was not the best
Right.
trip. So it's nice that
Right.
you've really worked hard to fine-tune that for them and make it a really memorable experience.
Right. I work with really great people on the ground, and that those are the people that really make my trips. Essentially, when I'm there, I'm like their escort, because it's not like I run the whole week myself. I hire great teachers, great guides, great drivers. I vet everybody out before I hire them. I try to work a lot with small businesses, with the mom and pop family run businesses. For example, we go truffle hunting in the woods when we're in Tuscany. I work with a great family for that. It's all in the family. The mother is the cooking teacher. The husband's the truffle hunter. The kids are also work in the kitchen. It's a great family, and just working with families like that folks would probably not be able to find on their own. They
Right.
might go to Trip Advisor, or can you and how much can you trust those reviews?
Exactly. And I think that's great just being able to y leverage the connections that you've built throughout the years and
Yes.
incorporate that into the trip.
Yes, definitely. Most definitely.
And with the trips that you have, would you say that the groups tend to stay together throughout the entire course, or is there like a day where people can kind of go off and do their own thing?
Yep, I try to balance the time that's group time versus time on their own. I really try to balance that because on one hand, they're paying for a tour, they're paying for a service. So if I allow a lot of time on your own, is that necessarily money well spent for you? You know, because you could go and do time on your own for a cheaper rate. But at the same time, if you're a group of 16, you don't want 24/7, 7 days of the week together with a group. You're going to want some time on your own. So usually what I do is we do a lot of daytime activities, and they'll have the evenings sort of on their own to spend as they wish. We'll do two group dinners, and the other dinners are on the, again, on their own. And usually the last day I leave very light. I either leave completely the whole day of your own, so folks can do what they wish, or we'll do a one very light activity, and then they'll have the afternoon for themselves. So it's, again, it's a fine balance because I want to make sure people get their money's worth, for lack of a better term. But I also don't want them to be, on top of each other for seven whole days, 24/7. That might not go well.
Yes, that makes complete sense, especially because I imagine that all people who make up the group might have completely different interests. So they might want to do an activity that everyone else doesn't want to do, and vice versa. So it's nice to have that mix of both, of having someone who can guide you, but then also being able to go off and try some things that might not be a part of the group or the tour.
Exactly. Too, a lot of times too, by day seven, something will have piqued their interest. Like, we don't do a lot of museums or a lot of art history or things like that because that's not the scope of my tour, but that doesn't mean they don't have an interest in it. So by day seven, that'll be like the activity that they choose to do. Or somebody's into churches, they may decide to spend a whole day walking around Florence to visit the churches. But again, we're not big into the museum or the history, so for the folks who are, it's a perfect opportunity to use that last day.
Absolutely. And after you end a tour, do you have some type of way for like keeping in touch with the group, whether it's keeping everyone connected or just making sure that they receive your further communications about
Oh,
upcoming
sure.
tours?
Of course, yeah. So by the end of the week, everybody is just like, I want to make sure I have everybody's email addresses and everybody's phone
Oh, I
numbers
love
because
that.
they all really turn into friends. So when I come back, usually I will send everybody's contact information. And then I usually get the recipes from the classes that we've done in Tuscany, oftentimes, or in it anywhere in Italy. We'll do all the recipes from the classes. I'll email those. They'll be added to my email list, so they'll know about future trips. And I can't tell you how many times I've had people meet on the tours, and then they end up wanting to do a tour together.
Oh, that's
So
fun.
they're like, "Which one are you doing next time?" Okay, well, I'll come with you to that. Just in September, it's happening. I have people who met last year in Amalfi. They want to travel together again to Puglia this year, so they'll be there in September. So it's nice. It's not, it's a great way for me to meet people because when you work for yourself and from home, you don't get to meet a lot of people. But it's also a great way for them to meet new friends, which is wonderful.
Absolutely. And with that, since you live in Massachusetts, do you find that a lot of the people who go on the tours with you are from Massachusetts or kind of all over the place?
They're all over. They really are all over. The one couple I was telling you about who's been on every one of my tours happens to be from Massachusetts. But I've had Pennsylvania, California, Ohio, pretty much anywhere. North Carolina. I've even had people again from Canada. I've had a couple from New Zealand. So it's not strictly tied to Massachusetts, no.
Oh, awesome. And I know you mentioned that with planning these tours that it can take hundreds or even thousands of hours to put them together. And so with that, have you found that you've almost had like a process now that you have down pat? I don't want to necessarily say rinse and repeat, but being able to have like a good workflow that makes things a little bit easier for you as you go on with it.
I mean, I know off the bat the things that I want to include. For example, cooking class. I want to include two cooking classes. I want to include a winery visit. If possible, I want to include an olive oil experience. The drivers are very important, so I need to make sure I vet out the drivers for the week. So it's not, like you said, so much rinse and repeat, but the theme is like very similar. The cooking classes, the wineries, olive oil, if I can. or another food experience, like a cheese making class and things like that. So, that's pretty much the week.
Gotcha. And you mentioned this a few times. I think it's such an important point about being sure to vet the businesses or families that you're working with over in Italy. So what's your vetting process for getting to research these businesses and also ensuring that they're the right fit for what you're looking to do?
Sure. If it's at all possible, I do like to meet them in person beforehand. If it's at all possible, it's not always possible. So we do a lot of similar what we're doing here with you with the video. We do a lot of Zoom meetings and Zoom interviews, telephone calls. I ask for references. If it's somebody that I don't know personally and it was referred to me by somebody that I trust, that kind of helps to move them up the chain a little bit. But I have worked with people who are just wonderful, and it worked out well, thankfully. Like I said, the people who I work with in Italy are really the ones that make my business, so they can really make or break a tour.
Right. And have you ever had that happen where something didn't go quite as right as you hoped?
Not really. Thank God. I would say no, it hasn't really happened. We had just this past May, I was in Emilia Romagna. We had a full week in Bologna where unfortunately they just experienced a torrential rain for the whole week. So we had to make a little bit of adjustments to that one day only. Thankfully, other than that, everything else, usually by the time we get there, I will have put so much work into it that, I'm ready to have fun with them and enjoy the experience and not stress too much about, oh no, is this the right person for me? It's too late at that point.
Exactly. You're already there. This episode of Right Here in Mass is brought to you by Melissa J. Pond, LLC. Is your mission-driven organization struggling to secure funding or communicate your strategy effectively? Meet Melissa J. Pond, LLC, an expert in grant writing, strategic planning, and visual storytelling with over 15 years of experience in the nonprofit and government sectors. Recognized with multiple professional awards, Melissa can help create lasting change and improve the lives of those you serve. Connect with her today at melissajpond.com to see how she can add value to your organization. That's melissajpond.com. How far in advance do people typically book the tours with you? Like a year or maybe it depends.
About a year. It depends on the region. Like the Amalfi Coast, like I was saying, is my top most popular tour, and I'm already sold out for June of 24, and I've been sold out for about a month and a half, 2 months now. Some of the other tours take a little bit longer. If it hasn't been sold out, I'm able to accept people up to 90 days before. That's usually by that point, that's when the hotel needs to know a final number. But you know, like Amalfi and Tuscany, even Sicily, those kind of sell pretty quickly, so about a year out. The lesser known regions like Bologna and Emilia Romagna can take a little bit longer, just because it's not a destination that's on top of everybody's travel radar.
Right, that makes sense. But I can imagine that even with the destinations that might not be a huge priority, I imagine that it probably gives them a great opportunity to experience a place that maybe might not be as busy or might have experiences that they can't find elsewhere.
Right, that's exactly it. I was born in Calabria, so last year I offered a trip to Calabria, which is a very undiscovered region. Like people, it's just not on people's travel radar. The people who visit Calabria are the people like me who come from there and return. But it's just not, you know, popular. And I was surprised myself that I was able to sell it out with 15 people. But like you said, you know, once they get to know me, I think that they get like, okay, this is not necessarily a region that I would visit, but I traveled with her before and I had a great time. I trust that I'm going to have another great time. And like you said, you know, you don't always want to go to the Amalfi Coast and Tuscany. There will come a point after you have been to those places where people are ready to do, you know, Calabria and Puglia and Bologna, because they crossed the more popular ones off their list.
Right. And it helps to definitely give them that whole Italian experience.
Right. Right, definitely. Yeah. That's what, you know, and that's why that's another way I differentiate myself, is that when we go on my trips, we stay in one hotel or one villa the whole week. And get to know that area really well. We become a local, you know, by the end of the week, you can feel comfortable going to the bar to get a drink or a coffee because you will have gone by that point all week. Whereas a lot of other tourists, they bounce around. They spend one night here, one night there. I like to have them immerse themselves in the region for that full week.
Yeah, and I think that's smart, especially because I can imagine that if someone were to constantly move from place to place, that can get exhausting and also take up time, just having to go from one location to another.
Yes, you bring up a great point. Yeah, you're wasting a lot of time packing and unpacking. You're wasting a lot of time traveling from one region to the next.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, the best use of your vacation time, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier is just all of the content that you're constantly creating between the blog posts that you put a lot of time and effort to, into your social media posts, newsletter, all of that good stuff. And so I can imagine, especially with the blog, that people likely find you through Google, I'm sure, if they're Googling certain things about traveling to Italy, and then your blog post comes up and boom, there you go.
Yes. I have really, I didn't appreciate the importance of the blog until probably this past year. Where I really vowed and made a commitment to do a blog post every week. And it takes time, as you know, you create content. So, you know, it's definitely, it takes, for me, to do one blog post can take upwards of a full day.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure that I put out valuable content. It's not just about gaining that client. It's whether you travel with me or somebody else, I think it's important to offer your visitors value. So I'll occasionally, if I'm having a super busy week, I'll occasionally put up like a recipe. It's a little bit easier to put together and it doesn't take as much time. But I really like to, you know, provide good travel content that if you're going to, you know, to Italy on your own, you can look at my post and find it helpful.
Absolutely. And speaking of content, you mentioned earlier in the show that you have three cookbooks. So I'd love to hear more about what they are, what inspired you to write and publish them, and also if you have any plans to perhaps write any more in the future.
Sure. So I have, yes, I have three cookbooks. My first cookbook is The Five Ingredient Italian. My second cookbook is Pasta in a Pinch. And then the third cookbook is 30-minute Italian. So as you can see, the theme here is creating accessible recipes that the average home cook can prepare at home that does not require 2-3 hours to prepare. I grew up always having dinner. You know, my mom always cooked dinner on the table every night. So I value that family dinner time. But I also understand that, you know, a working parent is not going to have an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours to prepare a fancy meal. So I wanted the recipes and the books to be not just a tabletop cookbook, but a cookbook that people would use. So the recipes are simple, quick, versatile. I provide tips on how to change things up. And if you don't have this ingredient, use that ingredient, and make Italian cooking accessible to the busy working American.
Absolutely. I love that. And I can imagine that kind of what you hinted at earlier is that when people might purchase a cookbook after not hearing of you previously, and then they go through it and they're like, wait a second, this person runs tours to Italy. I can imagine that it's a good way to kind of, I guess convert is the best way to put it, but convert them to now learning more about lazy Italian culinary adventures and what you do.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, it's definitely a good marketing tool. Like I said, when I wrote the cookbooks, they were more, it's like, okay, it was during the pandemic, I really didn't have a lot to do. I was approached by the company to write my first cookbook, and then they approached me for a second and a third, which again, I'm thankful for, that they found enough value to publish two follow-up books. But yeah, definitely, I have had clients find me through the cookbooks, so
that's amazing.
It's worked out well.
Yeah, for sure. And do you have plans to write a fourth someday, do you think?
I would love to. I would love to write something a little bit more regional, maybe a Calabrian cuisine, or pick one of the regions in Italy that I love and focus on that type rather than a similar theme that what I've done. So yeah, I would love to work on another one.
Very cool. And now shifting gears a little bit to your life before starting your business, I'd love to hear more about what your career path was before Lazy Italian Culinary Adventures, and also how you knew when it was time to quit that job and be able to take it full time.
Sure. So I have always worked in healthcare. Healthcare has been my main source of work since I graduated pretty much high school. I went to Suffolk University. I have a degree in sociology. Then after that, I got a master's in healthcare administration. So for many years, I worked either in case management, working with uninsured or disabled people, helping them get the benefits that they need and deserve. And then my last job, I was a hospital administrator in Boston. So I did that for 10 years. It was just, I think for me, I turned 40 in 2017. So in 2016, when I started my business, it was almost like a little bit of I always say my business was my midlife crisis. I just realized that what I was doing was not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I didn't want to get up at 5 o'clock every morning, work in a small hospital office, work for somebody else's dream. It was time for me to start working on my own dream.
I love
And that's
that.
when, and I was lucky. I had a very supportive boss. He knew what I was doing on the side. He knew, and he wished me well. He even helped, he would tell people about my business. So,
That's amazing.
I was lucky. I had a great boss.
And when you were juggling the two, was it difficult in terms of getting an allotted amount of time off in order to be able to run the tours?
And that's exactly what I did. I used all my vacation time for my tours. So
Yeah.
that wasn't a lot of fun because I never felt like I had any downtime. I was either working for somebody else, or the weeks that I did take as vacation from the day job was to work on the tour. So yeah, it was definitely a few years of juggling a lot of things. And I also too, I almost felt a little bit like a fraud to my business for a while. Like I didn't necessarily talk about my day job on my tours because I didn't want the people who were there with me to think this is just a little side thing for her. She's not into this. You know what I mean? I wanted to present myself as like a professional, and this is what I do. And I felt like a fraud, essentially. I was, then in 2019, when I could tell things were really picking up and I was able to quit, I felt like, okay, now I feel like a little bit less of a fraud. And then, of course, the pandemic happened, but that's beside the point.
Oh, imposter syndrome, it can really get you. I mean, it's something that, I mean, I also started my business in 2016. So even now, almost 7 years later, I still feel like it's something I'm constantly dealing with. And it's something everyone kind of struggles with as well, is just getting past it and reminding yourself that you are an expert at what you do, and you can see it in the proof because people are constantly booking you, but your mind just loves to make you think otherwise.
It's true. Yeah, it takes some getting around it and saying, "Wait a minute, I'm doing this. I'm selling out my tours, but I don't know." Like you said, exactly that imposter syndrome. Yeah.
Absolutely. And for any of our listeners who are potentially thinking about getting into the travel industry themselves, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah. I would say it's certainly not an easy business to break into. Like I said, I started in 2016. I wasn't able to quit my job until almost 2020. So certainly, it's not, but I think that can be said for any business. When you start off, don't anticipate that you're going to be able to replace your income immediately, or that you're going to, if you're starting in travel, that you're going to sell out every tour that you run. I would say start small and work your way up. When I started, I was like, I'm going to do six tours this year. I had no mailing list. I had no following. How was I ever going to sell out six tours? So just start small and work your way up. And until you've tested that your travel business or any business will work, definitely test out your concept before and see if you can do it.
Absolutely. And I think especially too with travel agents specifically, since a lot of their work does tend to be commission based, it's kind of like juggling the ebbs and flows that comes with that and being able to manage really great cash flow 1 month and perhaps not great cash flow the next month and being able to kind of balance it out.
You might run into periods of feast or famine, so
Right.
you have to be aware of
Absolutely.
that when you go into it and
Exactly.
budget accordingly.
Yep. Absolutely. And what would you say, transitioning back to Massachusetts specifically, what would you say are your favorite local businesses to support?
So I definitely love supporting small businesses as much as I can. You can hear one out now. I have my landscaping people trying to do some yard cleanup. And again, it's one of those things. It's like, ooh, I could do it myself, but having them here supports them because they're a small, young company starting out. Sunny Landscaping is the name if anybody's interested. And it's also time that I better spend like doing this with you. I also like I have a Shih Tzu, and she goes to the groomer every month, and I love supporting her. She does the grooming out of her house. Diana Pavia is her name, if anybody wants to look her up in Malden. I love supporting her. Yes, would it be ha probably half the price if I went to Petco? Yeah, but I also value her time and her expertise and the fact that she does one-on-one grooming, and my dog does better with that. So to me, that's worth paying more for. I mean, other small businesses, of course, Modern Pastry. I love Italian pastries. We have a Modern Pastry in Medford that I like to say support, and by that I mean they curb my sugar cravings. But yeah, definitely support your local pastry shop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Francesca, this has been such a fun episode, and I've really loved having the opportunity to have you share more about Lazy Italian Culinary Adventures with our audience. And I would love
Thank
if
you.
you could share more about where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Sure, definitely. My website, which always everybody gets a kick out of, is thelazyitalian.com. That's my website, and there you can email me and contact me that way. You can also find me on Facebook. Facebook is my go-to social media. I'm also on Instagram, but not as much. And yeah, those would be my main contact. And if you go to Amazon, pick up my book if you like. You can search by my name on Amazon.
Perfect. And I will link to all of those in the show notes that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thanks so much
Thank
again for
you.
coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. This was great.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.